The U.S. Open heads to Long Island, New York this week for the 8th time in the tournament's history.
This is the oldest golf clubhouse in the United States at Shinnecock Hills, New York, where the U.S. Open is returned.
Shinnecock Hills Golf Club, host site of the second U.S. Open in 1896. I'm pretty sure Swag was there.
You know, my age, the mind starts playing tricks.
This is a U.S. Open Week edition of Dirt and Spray with Andy Dirt Johnson.
Beautifully struck there, right at the flag.
Watch out for this one. This is a shot of his life.
And Brandon Sprague.
Corey Pavin, U.S. Open champion.
Thanks.
Does that sound good?
Well, that sounds so awesome. I can't even tell you how good that sounds to me.
U.S. Open Week on The Fan is brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club. There's no better course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 FM and 1080 AM. The Fan.
Hey, let's do this final hour. Dirt and Sprague, Portland sports leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody.
Not trying to be a chotch.
No chotches allowed. It's a Monday. The sun's out. Everybody feeling good. Got a lot to get to in this hour of radio. The second the nut hits my lip, I spit it out. Whoa, calm down. Can we play the fun trust tree? Tiago Splitter's off the board. The Blazers season has already ended before it could even begin.
It's been ruined.
Our off season only lasted 2 days, and now it's all done. It's over. I'll read some of the thoughts here in a moment. Tiago Splitter is announced as the Bulls head coach. He's moving on from our beloved Blazers. Can we play a trust tree game moment for a trust tree game moment here? Spain is playing a game in the World Cup down in Atlanta.
Yeah.
They are playing Cape Verde.
Uh-huh.
I believe it's Cape Verde.
That's a country?
Yes.
Absolutely.
And we knew that this was a country?
Sort of.
We knew it's an island.
Yeah.
You know, everybody with a brain knew that.
Of course.
We're not looking on Google Maps.
Where is the island located? Off of?
Oh, it's right in the ocean.
Like in the middle of the ocean? Is it like a...
Yeah, it's kind of by...
Is it like almost
landlocked? It's a
Portuguese landlocked?
Island.
Portuguese island. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It's not very far from
what are we
Morocco.
Doing?
They're actually not that far away from Spain.
Oh, okay. So is this a rivalry? Is this a regional rivalry?
You know. It's
population, according to Wikipedia.
What's the population?
This is from the last 2021, 491,233.
That's all that live there?
Among the least populous countries in Africa.
I don't know how they have an airport. I'm looking
how?
At the islands here, dude. They're not
how?
Very big.
Are they in the World Cup?
You call it Wikipedia or Wikipedia?
Wikipedia.
I've called it Wikipedia.
Yeah, oh, okay. Wikipedia.
It sounded like you said Wikipedia. I was like, oh, okay.
No.
Wiki?
No.
Ah, you know.
Wiki, that, the Wiki bus down at the Honolulu airport, that's different. That's the Wiki bus.
Data
Wiki
or data?
Bus. Data or data? Data. Data.
I say both.
Yeah, I do too.
I don't have one or the other.
That one I go both ways.
Yeah.
I'll hit for both teams.
Rust was asking me this yesterday. He texted me and he's like, do you guys, when you reference a player hitting and
yeah,
runs.
That is the most random Rust text I've ever gotten in my entire life too. Because I got that text as well.
I did.
You got it as well?
Wait a minute. Yeah. He texted.
He was in a debate with Kerry Eggers on social media about
James.
RBI or RBIs.
He texted both of you that too?
Yeah. We all got the question.
Proper would be RBI. Because runs would be plural or singular.
Runs batted in.
Now, the question is the acronym RBI considered a noun or an acronym?
I said when in general conversations, hey, last year he had 27 home runs and 92 RBIs.
So you do the S.
I do. In a general conversation. Mm. I don't think it's the correct way to Swag's point. It's
I think
not.
Proper is RBI.
But like if you're using it in a dialogue, hey, how many RBIs did he have last year? Not how many RBI did he have last year.
I think my takeaway in this is not, because I told him you can actually use both, and I don't really care.
Nobody really
it's
cares.
That he texted both all three of us separately.
Yeah.
He made it seem like this was a real pressing question.
This is a
for
moment.
Me.
This is a personal thing between the two of you.
I was like, oh.
Oh.
Okay, let me dive into this.
Let
and
me
now
think about
I'm
it.
It's the
well,
copy
I wonder
paste.
If he sent a group but it goes individually. I think you can do that. Like you can send it out to a group, but it's
he is a green text guy.
All individual.
I didn't know you could do that.
I believe there's a setting where you can do that.
Yeah, read up on your Cape Verde, man.
Well, I'm just glad that I'm not alone and having no clue that that was a country, but congratulations, I guess, on making the World Cup. What's the over under of Spain goals in this game?
4.5
has to be right.
Oh, let me go.
Spain's one of the favorites, aren't they?
Spain
half the population
is
of
the
Cape Verde is playing in it.
Dude, they have us. We have more people in like Hillsborough than they do in their in their country. How are they in the World Cup?
I think Washington County as a whole, if you put all of Washington County.
Yeah, it has to be about 500K, right?
Yeah, because you've got 110,000 in Hillsborough, 100,000 in Beaverton, 50,000 in Tigard.
What's Sherwood now?
Sherwood's like 30,000.
Is that technically Washington County?
Yeah, Tigard's in Washington County.
Washington County, Oregon has an estimated population of 611,000 to 615,000.
Why isn't Washington County in the World Cup? They expanded.
I know where that is.
Yeah.
I know how to find that on a map.
Yeah. It's because they expanded, dude. That's why you're getting these countries you don't know much about.
It's pretty dumb.
And wait till it gets to 64.
Who's next on the list that's not in? If Cape Verde is in, who's the next bunch of countries that are going to find their way into the expanded World Cup? How far down the list are we going here?
I don't know.
I'm trying to look at countries that I legitimately not even sure I can pronounce.
Well, maybe that'll allow Italy to get back in.
Yeah, Italy not making it and Cape Verde being in is like that's
low blow, my man.
Right before they're going to hear that, they're going to hold that against you. You're going to be there in like a week. When are you leaving?
Wednesday, right after the show.
You're leaving Wednesday to go to Italy.
Oh, I think the fans are pretty disgusted there.
Yeah, your ammunition won't do much. Anyways, the big breaking news of the morning, other than us talking about a championship Monday, is that Thiago Splitter is on the move. He is going to be the next head coach of the Chicago Bulls. That just came out. We knew Stein had reported over the weekend that the Bulls were going to make their hire today, and they had some of the similar. I can't remember if they had more than two or if it was the same two.
It was down to Nori and Splitter. Yeah.
Do we view this as Dundon got done with the Stanley Cup final, made his move for Nori last night? He just haven't announced it, and that's why Splitter left. Is it Splitter leaving on his own? Mm. I did chuckle at this because you always get the reasoning behind it. Like, I've had back and forth with people about Thiago Splitter. I certainly, again, I'm not trying to act like he did a terrible job. I think sometimes the coaching angle in the NBA is a little overblown in the regular season. When you get to the finals and matchups in a seven-game series is totally different. But Shams had a tweet saying the reason Chicago landed on Thiago Splitter was for his player development strengths. Mm-hmm. And that's the focal point of what Chicago's going through. It's like, okay, I mean, that makes sense. And then I just thought to myself, all right, young players, did Shane Sharp get a lot better this year?
A lot better? No.
Like, did he improve? Do we feel any differently now than we did about Shane?
He improved. I don't know if he got a lot better.
Do we feel any different about Shane Sharp now than we did a year ago?
No. Maybe some people feel a little less.
Scoot Henderson?
Hey, came on at the end and only played like 30 games.
He did.
So what do you want?
Had a great moment in the playoffs.
What do you want Splitter to do about that?
I'm just saying, the idea did Kamara take a big jump this year?
I wouldn't say he took a big jump. Do you think Donovan did?
I would argue Kamara technically regressed because wasn't he all defense last year and not all defense this year?
That's not a regression. That's just more just people saying to the conversation.
Klingon did, certainly. Like, you could give that Klingon.
Yeah. Why doesn't he get that credit? He's a big.
I'm just saying I find
what position does Splitter play?
So he could only develop center? Did Young Hansen get better as the year went on?
Well, that's different.
Okay, that would apply.
That was out of his control.
I just love the terminology used when coaching hires are made of like, it's all about player development.
Well, that was why they hired him. Yeah. He actually had that reputation.
You need to develop players. I get it. Chicago is certainly in a different spot than we are. Thiago is on the move, though, and somebody said, we are not being Portland enough. We are not screaming enough for the overreaction crowd. Up.
Your neighborhood restaurant group brings the fan poll question on Twitter. Dinner tonight at one of the five locations, San Diego's Big's Chicken, Reverend's Barbecue, 808 Hawaiian, and Lorehurst Market Steakhouse and Butcher Shop. And that is the poll question of the day on Thiago Splitter going to Chicago. Is the offseason officially ruined now that the Bulls have taken Thiago Splitter away from us? Yes or no? You can vote at Durnsburg.
You're not being Portland enough. This obviously means the team is relocating. I'd like to apologize to the Kalamazoo Kazoos. Good luck in their future with your new head coach. Another one, a buddy of mine said on Splitter, there's some great coaches and there's some horrible ones. The majority are fine and don't really matter either way. Splitter is in that middle category. And I think that's a perfect summation of just how I feel.
Where were people at Mike Brown about a year ago?
Yeah, man.
Was he going to be the title-winning coach that you needed to hire?
Not at all. He was a guy who was fired in Sacramento, who was fired in Cleveland. And did he? No, he was the
interim guy for Kerr.
Yeah, the year that they lost to Toronto, right?
Because
that was the year I remember him in Portland because Kerr wasn't coaching in that series. And I remember one of the bigger takeaways of the conference finals was how likable Mike Brown was.
It was either 2019 or 2018.
I feel like I remember.
Remember him and Walton both filled in.
They
for
both
Kerr.
Filled in. I vividly remember going to Western Conference Finals games and Mike Brown doing the post game interviews.
I think you're right on that.
From that. And that was the year that they went on a lose to Toronto, correct? Because their team got all banged up and it was the end of their run.
Yeah.
So it's a guy who couldn't get it done and now he got it done. I think Portland will ultimately be fine. I want to get back to a question we had in the last segment, and this is a fear that I've had. So all of this big stuff, these big dominoes are going to fall. We'll see what happens with Giannis and how long it takes to get there. Giannis watch continues. Now there's the angle that the Celtics might legitimately be on the brink of getting him and maybe the favorite to land him right now. Which
it says Brown went 11-0 in 2017.
Okay.
So that would have been a year they won the title.
I remember going to conference. I remember those press conferences.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just reading. It said he went 11-0 in 2017.
Did he fill in again at another time?
Maybe.
Kerr had lingering back issues
continuing to pop up.
But the idea of Jaylen Brown being available, I guess, what is the reaction for us if there is a Giannis to Boston trade in which Jaylen Brown is included, which obviously will have to be the case because I don't think financially you can make it work any other way. Mm-hmm. Brown is included, and he is rerouted to fill-in-the-blank, not Portland. Let's say Atlanta is the team that jumps in there and grabs the Jaylen Brown slops, if you will, which
Atlanta
aren't slops.
Well do that.
He was top six in MVP voting this year. Of just like having a big trade like that go down and again being left from the sideline when we in a roundabout vague way have been referenced to both players and have these assets to go use, that would be a like the idea of Tiago leaving, whatever. You want to make that a big deal, that's fine. You want to talk about a kick in the junk? That's the kick in the junk for me this offseason is you're left on the outside looking in of this massive NBA trade and then asking yourself, okay, do we trade four first-round picks for Trey Murphy or scrap parts for Anthony Davis, and that's going to be our offseason?
Well, I mean, okay, but if you set your sights on just two players, you're largely probably going to be disappointed.
Well, we don't even know if one of them is going to get traded because Giannis might go to Miami, and if that's the case, Boston's not trading. I would be shocked if Boston traded him for anything
other
than Giannis.
But if Giannis is moved to Boston and Brown's traded, there's a chance we don't get either one of those guys, right?
Of course there is, yeah.
So if we only evaluate through the lens of, did you get those one of those two guys? No, you didn't. Well, then you're probably going to find disappointment. Like, if they actually miss out on both guys, assuming there's movement, and I tell you they get Anthony Davis, what is the split going to be with our listeners? It's going to be probably more anti than pro, but I'm also going to look back and go, oh my God, they've taken a swing and an initiative to get better.
It's not a disaster. I'm okay with AD because you're holding unlikely to your draft capital, and he's on an expiring deal.
He is on an expiring. How quickly do you go from, hey, they made it, they took a move, to, hey, they're taking a swing, to who really cares, right? Like, that sliding scale of the NBA offseason, for the Blazers, it's a pretty fast, quick fall from one to the other, right?
We have spent so much time talking about the Giannis idea, which we all knew was probably not going to happen, but dare to dream.
And then it's like, what did you get? We got Duncan Robinson.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to be a...
Oh.
Okay.
It's basically Giannis.
And so, I don't want to set myself up. I don't think people should set themselves up to Giannis, Jaylen Brown, bust.
No.
If they get Anthony Davis, we'll talk about that move, if that's indeed the move that they make. And all reports are that they're interested in Anthony Davis.
They try to get him at the deadline, according to some.
I just, for the life of me, I hope they find a way into the Jaylen Brown stuff. And I understand he's not perfect. I understand he's a bit different. He does his podcast stuff.
Dude, he fits Portland to a T.
You said this about Giannis, and I feel this way about Brown. Like, dude, he is debatably one of, if not the best player you've ever acquired.
Yes.
In a trade.
It would be the biggest free agent or trade acquisition since Scottie, and it's not even close.
So what
are
we
in the Buck
really
Williams territory
here?
Of the one of the biggest moves in franchise history.
What are we really debating here? Like, oh, if he's going to be super cool to be with for 4 years? Yeah. I have no clue, man.
Right.
I don't know if anybody is. I'm not going to act like Denny's been Mr. I Love Portland. He's done multiple interviews where he's like, yeah, it's interesting. You know, he's not like super in on the way Dame is. I think he's playing well here, and that's what he likes. So, like, we got to stop with this nose in the air of who should we get and who should we not be risking it all for.
Right.
We're Portland. So, like, at the end of the day, if Jaylen Brown is an option to dive into,
taking him,
I think the franchise would take it, and I'm going to be super stoked if they get it.
I think you're spot on the idea of I'm not going to go, if that move, let's say they get the announcement today, the trade happens, Brown gets dealt to Milwaukee and then rerouted to Atlanta or whatever the scenario is, and we're not involved, we're on the outside looking in. It's certainly not going to be the entire offseason is a disaster. Like, you got to wait and see how the rest of the thing shakes out. Because I'm not one who's out on trading for Anthony Davis. I think there's a little bit of tread left in those tires, if you will. I think he'd get a motivated guy on a contract year trying to prove himself. He's been dealt three times in, what, that'd be three trades in a two-year span or a year-and-a-half span? Like, yeah. I think you get a motivated player. I think there's you wouldn't have to give up all your draft capital for it. And if you get a healthy, good version of Anthony Davis, he's a game-changer. He's one of the best players in the NBA, and I think he still has that ability to do so, again, if he's able to stay available. So it wouldn't be a disastrous year. It just would be the tough feel of, like, depending on what Atlanta or just fill in the blank, right, whoever the other team is, was to put into that trade of being like, man, we couldn't have matched that. Like, to
part
go
of
back,
it has to be where the player wants to go.
Sure.
To. And Brown would probably, I would guess,
prefer Atlanta, you would assume, unless the West Coast thing's a really big deal
him
for him.
And Atlanta,
I don't know.
If they don't have to give up all of the stuff, that's yeah. a pretty fun fit.
No doubt about it. We also have a really good trade history with Boston over the years.
We do.
And we've done favors for them, and Drew Holiday went and won a title, and then, you know, it was a return for Anthony Simons. Yeah. And so there's a good working relationship
Same
there.
Same with Milwaukee.
Same with Milwaukee. Yeah. Like, there's relationships that have built in. Like, we debated the idea for a year, I felt like, of trading two first-round picks for OG Anunoby, who ended up being a very good player for the Knicks. And we didn't know at the time that those players were going to end up being Scoot and Shaden. Mm-hmm. But obviously now in the aftermath of it, you would say, yes, I would trade Scoot and Shaden for OG Anunoby in a heartbeat. At least I hope everybody would, because that's the right idea. And then he ends up going for RJ Barrett Emmanuel quickly in a second-round pick. It's one of those of like, God, that was too rich for us. And then that's the trade. Not that RJ Barrett's a bad player. He's fine. But it's just that idea, if you're left on the outside looking in, how could you not have gotten to that mark? And maybe your point's right about Brown wanted to go to Atlanta and they cared more about that than sending him to the best overall part or offer, if you will. I guess my hope is if there's a big move that happens that we're in the fray somehow, some way, and when I get that Shams breaking news alert, well, I see there's a Portland component of it, of us getting something that matters.
To me, you know, waiting and seeing who the coach is going to be and what moves they make, I'll just add this. A lot of noise is going to be made today because of what just happened with Splitter and the Bulls.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm already seeing a preview of what's going to come probably after our show today. It's going to be a lot of more noise on Dundon. And it's always been Dundon since he got the team.
Yeah.
This is an offseason where every ounce of the spotlight away from Dundon and city funding, it needs to be on this front office.
Yeah.
This is
your offseason.
Kevin Huerter and Dame Lillard are the new pieces to the equation. No. There needs to be a substantial move here. Otherwise, you're basically just doing what Neil did. You're standing pat and you're being totally cool, being at the middle bottom tier of the Western Conference. If you make Anthony Davis moves and it doesn't work, I don't know how much I can really fault you.
If it's Jeremy Grant and Shaden Sharpe for Anthony Davis and it doesn't pan out, whatever, dude.
If you get Giannis, if you get Jaylen Brown, you get into the sweepstakes of some of these names, like, I'm going to look and go, okay, here we go, man. We're all about this.
Yeah.
If it's going to be minimal role guy because he shoots 38% from three, you're not selling me on a whole lot. So a lot of noise is going to be today, I think, on Dundon again and how we lost out on Splitter because he's cheap and all this other stuff. This is the summer of the front office. We just made the playoffs for the first time in 5 years. We didn't last very long in that situation. A 19-year-old snatched our souls on our home court.
The GM literally said last summer, winning time starts now.
Winning time starts now with Dame coming back.
Literally,
like,
said it last summer.
It's time for that.
Let's go
enough
win.
Enough with the Dundon cheap stuff. Enough with, you know, city. Yeah. All that stuff's going to work itself out, right? This is an important summer for me, covering the team, watching the team. We need to get it done in the front office. We have a guy that's an all-NBA caliber, an all-star this year. We're adding Dame to it. We got some defensive juggernauts in two and Drew and Donovan can play good defense. Like,
right.
Stop sitting and waiting. Let's go be aggressive. This is a big summer for the front office. And getting a minimal role player, for all the criticisms of Dundon, those same people better be loud as hell when it comes to the season starting up if all they added is fringe role guys.
You know what I give that?
Hey-ya!
Full support. I think that's the to sum up the feeling of us, not to generalize it too much. It's I certainly acknowledge, you know, we've talked about Dundon ad nauseum and doesn't go away. The story doesn't stop. I get the funding issue. This is the most important thing that's in front of this team right now is not who the head coach is. It's what does your roster look like and what are you able to pull off this offseason?
Far and away.
If Tiago Splitter is back as your head coach and you paid him $9 million a year in order to do so, but you're unable to make a big trade and the roster is largely the same plus Damian Lillard, nothing is changing about next offseason, whether Tiago Splitter is your head coach or not. You got to go make something happen, and that should be where all of our attention is. Who your coach is whatever to me, as long as you're able to go out and do something in the offseason.
Here's a general rule for basketball fan. If people screaming at you about Tiago Splitter or coaching news didn't utter a word about how good Mitch Johnson was after he was named head coach or anything about Mark Daigneault, then you don't need to care.
We had a guy coach us who we now are pissed off that we're losing, who was an acting head coach making $900,000 a year. So, but now it's devastating that we have lost that guy who was the third assistant at the beginning of the season. That's enough of the NBA coverage. It's been a lot of it today. The Knicks win the title. The offseason is here. Tiago Splitter is gone. Everybody's heads are spinning, and I'm sure everybody will have rational takes throughout the course of the day today. Let's get to the footy football. Is this our year? This is our year. Next on the Fan. Welcome back in. Happy Monday, everybody. It's probably already 8,000 degrees out there right now. Hopefully you got your ACs going. I got a random local note I'll get to close up the show that I actually kind of thought was cool because it might impact my fandom. Maybe, maybe not, but we'll throw it out to the masses here in a moment. What's going to fill our hole now that the NBA and the Stanley Cup are all done? We can play that fun game, fill your hole. One of the things that we'll be doing it in the short term, and did a little bit for me, I don't know how much you guys watched. I didn't watch a second of the College Baseball World Series. I felt a little bad about that, but you know.
Why do you feel bad about it?
I don't know. I do enjoy it when I turn it on. It's not one of those that, like, this is incredibly boring. Like, the Omaha stuff's cool, and it, you know, I can
North Carolina's in the final, right?
Is the final already here?
No. Carolina just started, right? Is in the they're 2-0, so they advance to the semifinal.
The semifinal. That's
so
okay,
then
thank you.
Troy and West Virginia, whoever wins that, will face them to go to the championship.
Dude, do you see the Pat McAfee jello shot controversy from last week? Because
no.
West Virginia's there.
No. Yes.
So he went to do a live show.
Okay.
Talk about his Friday. He did a live show Friday morning from the College World Series. West Virginia in town, jumped on a private jet and flew to L.A.
Uh-huh.
to go to the USA World Cup game.
Tough Friday night.
$60 million a year.
So he tried to go into Rocco's and write a check, because Rocco's is the name of the bar where they do the Jell-O shot contest, and he tried to write a check for $150,000, and the guy didn't know. There was a miscommunication. He was like, this check's going to bounce. I'm not taking it.
What?
And like turned down the money. And then McAfee was like, what? I'm just trying to give you free money and you don't want
it. $150,000 check. And the guy said,
it was
no?
a whole thing. And then
how does nobody step in and go, that's Pat McAfee?
Right. And so then it was like, and McAfee then tells the story on the air. And everybody starts dumping on this bar.
Gosh.
And it's like, God, that took a turn for the worse. But I will say, I watched, so Friday night was a USA game. I had the game on the entire time. Mm-hmm. Very fitting dirt soccer fandom. I feel like whenever I watch a soccer game, I happen to get up and move at the, like, I just, my timing is horrible. I always get up and y'all watch like 15 straight minutes and then something pops
you
up.
Miss the goal.
You walk into the kitchen, you're like, damn it. You lean across the door, you're like, I want to, and then you sit back down for 15 minutes and then you're like, all right, I got to go take a leak. You get up, take a leak. Damn, then you hear it from the other room. So I had a little bit of that, but Team USA won. How much World Cup did we watch over the weekend? Were we tuning in?
Of the USA match, 35%.
Okay.
I want to be honest on that.
I don't care.
I saw a little bit of the Japanese-Netherlands match.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a little bit of the, with the first day festivities, I saw some of the kickoff of
that. Sure, the Mexico, the Canada game, all that.
Yep. South Korea.
Is that it? And whatever's going on behind you, Cape Verde's holding their own, by the way. Our fighting Verdes are nothing.
So I watched some of the USA Paraguay because Patrick told me, because, you know, Soccer Patrick here, Timber fan.
Yes.
He tells me we're going to win our group stage easily. And I'm like, okay, what does that mean after that? He's like, well, you know, and then he starts going into it. So when you tell me we're going to win something easily, I don't have a lot of excitement and buzz about the group stage of it.
Are we going to get a poo-poo Friday night?
No, I'm not poo-pooing. I watched.
No poo-poo?
And they won 4-1, so I'm like, let me get a better understanding of this.
Uh-huh.
Because 4-1, that's a lot of goals.
Right.
Right? We did the Germany carousel
game. I got some numbers
game,
behind
7-1.
It. It's literally one of our best performances ever.
And that's what I read. I read two different pieces where people are claiming this is the this is the best men's soccer performance of all time.
It is. They're plus +3 goal differential in the game. I don't know if you're aware of that.
4-1. Goal differential
4-1.
+3.
+3.
That is their largest World Cup win since 1930.
Yeah.
1930.
Yeah. That's a no-countsies.
That was the first World Cup, by the way.
Their four goals are the most ever for the team, a Team USA in a single World Cup match. The Balogun, who had the two goals in the game.
Yes.
Is that how you say his last name?
Yes.
He is the first multi-goal World Cup game by a U.S. player since 1930. We have not had a player score two goals in a game since 1930. Now, Pulisic ended up getting hurt. Is he okay? Do we have an update on his status?
I guess he said he got kicked. He got kicked in the back of his calf, and it was starting to tight up, and it was totally precautionary. At least that's the story they're all sticking to.
Okay.
It was totally precautionary. They were up 3-0. Let's not chance it here in the first game of the entire tournament.
I will say, I was curious to see what the spectacle was going to look like, right? They're playing these at NFL stadiums. That one was at SoFi on Friday
night.
That
one looked like it was mostly full.
It looked mostly full. Most of the environments have been pretty solid. Like, I'm flipping around and watching these random-ass games, and I don't care that much. Just woke up, sit and watch, especially in the middle of the day when there's nothing else on TV. And there's some that are a little more sparse than others, but there's a decent showing at most of them. I'm sure some better than others. The USA atmosphere was awesome on Friday night.
At SoFi, yeah.
And I've been wondering, how is this going to translate in the weeks to come? Because we know there's an element of soccer fan that this is everything. This is your religion, right? It's the World Cup.
Yeah.
It's the ultimate, tournament. So you're all in. Where these tournaments end up hitting is when they can find a way to drag in the non-soccer guy. And how do you make it compelling for other people? One of the biggest things that I've had that's been a deterrent to me watching more World Cup in my lifetime is that the Team USA usually sucks. And we've made it out of group stage. I get that before. But then it's like, whatever. It's not that compelling to watch. You get a 1-1 draw, and it's like, yeah, we got in on points. That's pretty cool. Or our goal differential was better than this team's goal differential. To see them do what they did Friday night, I got to admit, it moved a little bit. It was like, whoa. It was fun. They came out, scored a goal right out of the gate. The whole arena was jumping. Like, then they scored shortly after
they have
that.
More than one dynamic player up front.
It was just fun. It was a fun brand of soccer. It was entertaining. They looked good. It's like, all right, now I'm going to be playing golf on Friday, so I'm not going to watch a game, but I'll keep a close eye on the score. And the rest of the games, I'm not canceling up for something. Watch the World Cup.
It's getting me. I'm going to skip the next match.
There you go.
It's not to the level of canceling a golf round yet, but I will say it wrote me in a little bit with the way they played Friday night. I imagine most of the countries are the same. We love winners in this country, and they won, big.
First of all, Paraguay is a good – that's not a bad team. That team beat Argentina, I believe I read.
Yeah, I don't have a frame of reference on Paraguay. Is that like –
They are the worst team in – the group that I think they're ranked like 45th.
Can you put this in college football terms for me?
But they beat Argentina is what I read.
Well, in one of their qualifying matches, because they're down in...
That's a big win.
If you're trying to qualify, you can beat Argentina.
Well,
college football terms this for me? What is Paraguay in the college football world?
Michigan State?
I think they're better than Michigan
Minnesota?
State. Minnesota. Minnesota's a good one.
So we housed Minnesota.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oregon, Minnesota, that was the
outcome. But we're not Oregon, though. Are we Oregon?
No, I think we're Texas Tech.
I mean, isn't that the same result?
I mean, I'll take that.
If Texas Tech with sores
beer. As long as our goalie's not gambling on the games, I'll take that.
Look, your whole point, too, of roping people in. The World Cup is kind of different than this. The NBA Finals, they're trying to get people in. The Stanley Cup, trying to get people in. The World Cup doesn't need you.
No, it
I'm glad
doesn't
you're part
need
of it.
It certainly doesn't need me.
They'd love to have you, but they're going to...
I just know there's a lot of people out there that are like me.
I know, but those numbers are going to be mammoth.
I'm not saying they're always mammoth, but if USA lost the game 2-0 to Paraguay on Friday night...
I think people like us
There would have been panic, and let's say they don't make it out of the group stage. Like, I do think there's a percentage of this country that will turn the tournament off.
Yeah, but I think we're in the vast minority of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just because of the event.
Yeah.
I think the World Cup separates itself.
The event, also the fact, now the NBA and NHL finals are over, so you don't have anything dragging into this week.
This is a whole filler.
You have four games a day all throughout daytime into the evening.
This is your biggest hole filler for the next couple of weeks?
Probably.
No, the Atlanta Braves are.
Oh, okay.
But
I quit on my team. So.
And we're ice cold right now.
I need a filled hole.
I will be following. I'll be watching. I think the interesting thing here for me is Taylor Twellman saying the expansion of the tournament is ridiculous and it's only going to make things infinitely worse because you're going to have too big a goal differential. Like, Germany having a 6 goal differential is huge. Because you start shaking it out as the tournament goes on, that stuff's going to matter.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have these, these countries or these teams that nobody's heard of or that's not very good, and you're like, oh, they won 5-1, wow, that's where it's going to start to hurt a little bit. So the expansion of the tournament, in reading about it, pretty terrible.
Yeah, hurting some of these lopsided games.
Not good for the sport. Impressive to say it's our most impressive performance ever.
And nearly 100 years is the best thing we've done, man.
Is winning 4-1 against Paraguay. What does that mean for their luck going forward? I have no clue.
I'll tell you what it means. We're going to go kick the crap out of the Australians. That's what we're going to do.
I hope so.
And then whoever else is in our group that we play out for that I definitely don't know, we're going to kill them too.
Turkey.
Turkey?
Yeah, they're going by Turkey now, like Czechia.
Yeah.
What?
Yep.
Yeah.
Huh?
Turkey.
Yep.
Turkey?
When they changed that? 2 years ago?
A couple years
Three
ago.
3 years ago?
What?
Yeah.
Turkey is now Turkey?
Turkey. Yeah. Kind of sounds cooler.
That's a cooler name.
Turkey.
I'll give it to you.
Yep.
Yeah. España and Cape Verde still scoreless. Should I go put a bet on Cape Verde? What are the live odds on this bad boy?
Where would that rank? And just
this has to be a massive
like a
upset,
nil-nil draw.
It's the beauty of watching. So I just have no clue what I'm watching. Last one, and then we'll go. I promise we're against
the
it.
Hell that he missed that.
Why sometimes when the ball goes out by the goal and it's not a corner kick, do they have another player kick it to the goalie first?
That's always been allowed. You can always do that.
So teams are just choosing to do that instead of having the goalie do the free kick. Oh, okay, I didn't know if that was like. I was like, why are they kicking it?
No,
guy?
Any player can take that goal, that kick.
Oh, okay.
To restart play.
Got it. Learn something new every
day. Cape Verde, plus 2,200 right now. Spain still minus 450.
I'm doing it. Don't. $2. I'm doing it. $2. It's $2.
It's gone. No. See you later, $2.
Until Cape Verde pulls off the upset.
They should have just scored right there.
That was offsides. Get out of here. We'll wrap it up. Final thoughts on the show, including some tragic news over the weekend. Close it up on a Monday next on The Fan. What's the equivalent of a soccer keeper standing on his head like in the NHL? What do they say? Do they have a phrasing for that?
Standing on his head?
Well, that's what they say, like NHL goalie, if he's playing while he's standing on his head.
Oh.
It's like the phrase, the terminology. Is that exist in soccer? Because this Cape Verde guy just made it.
He's holding on for life.
He is getting peppered with shots every time I look at the screen. And somehow it's nothing to nothing. $2 pays 52.
There you go.
Let's go, Verde.
I don't know that there's a universal
terminology on that one.
No.
Well, a couple other odds and ends to get to as we close up the Monday program. YouTube chat lively as always. Thanks for hanging with us, everybody. Some really sad news in the NFL over the weekend.
Yeah, dude. This one kind of hit me.
I mean, he's right around our age. He's not that old at all. Alden Smith passed away over the weekend. 36 years old. I don't know if we have any more specific details on...
Car accident is what I...
That's what they're saying, was a car accident?
I could be wrong, okay. But I read some of the comments and people were saying there was a car accident.
A guy who burst onto the scene appearing to be one of the most dominant defensive, you know, young guys we've ever seen in the NFL. Took the league by storm, certainly had his issues on and off the field, bounced around. He was born the same year I was born. So whenever you get those storylines, they hit a little bit closer to home. I also remember watching him vividly in San Francisco. It's just really sad, man. 36 is too young for anybody, and Alden Smith passed away.
Very sad. Talk about somebody who came onto the scene and, like, we thought he was going to be.
What did he have his rookie year?
I thought he either tied the record.
He was so good.
Didn't he tie Javon Curse or come, like, within a sack of the record? He was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And, you know, the funny thing is, I remember that draft. I was in... old KBVR studios, hanging around the couch. The NFL draft was on.
KBVR.
And college radio.
That's right.
And I was watching the draft, and it was Harbaugh, and I'm like, they took Alden Smith, and I'm like, Alden Smith?
Alden
really?
Smith, yeah.
And he came out and had a sensational rookie year. So
he had 14 sacks as a
14,
rookie.
That's right.
Year two.
Yeah.
19 and a half sacks.
That's what it was.
I mean, he had that is insane for your first 2 years.
What a start to a career.
8.5, 2, 3.5.
That's
suspended,
Reggie
suspended,
White.
Suspended, yeah. Suspended, Dallas retired.
Yeah. And look, if it wasn't a car accident, then, you know, we'll have to wait and see, I guess, publicly. But
no matter what it was, it's tragic.
It's very sad. That's way too young. And I saw that. I was like,
I knew he had gone through dealing with his demons over the years, obviously. And I didn't know if this was a random accident, if it was something related to those kind, you know, what he had dealt with at times in his career. I wasn't sure. I mean, either way, tragic. Alden Smith was an incredible talent and passed away far too soon. Only 36 years old. One other note, and I know Sprague's going to scream at me because he's tired of this story, but it just won't simply go away. We now have the Big 12 filing legal challenges against Texas Tech and the Attorney General of Texas.
Oh, man. It's Oklahoma versus Texas. And nonstop.
No, this is
litigation.
A federal lawsuit. They've gone to federal court.
They've gone to federal court to basically allow for them to be allowed to do what they want to do to Texas Tech.
Yeah.
To boil down their legal filing, that's what it is. They want to be able to do whatever they can to Texas Tech and say, we have the authority to do so, and they cannot countersue and file blah, blah, blah. They want monetary damages if they pay him. They want to ban them from potentially playing in the Big 12 championship game if they get there.
Yep.
That's where the world turns. If anybody's wondering where that story's at, that's where that story's
Don't
at.
Don't worry. There's another appeal that's going to happen despite the ruling of this case, yes. And then they're going to go to a different county to file another appeal.
going.
Yep, it's not going to go away. I'm going to throw one last as I empty out my bag on a Monday because none of these are really segment worthy.
Okay.
Does this do anything for you? Did you see the local announcement in hoops we had over the weekend? Not in the NBA. College hoops.
Nope.
Nope. On Friday, they announced they are moving the never defunct in basketball Civil War to Portland.
That's actually a smart move.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Play at the Moda Center?
Yeah.
Thursday, November 19th.
Is that going to start this year?
It's going to start this year.
In the Moda?
There you go.
So they're playing it this year. I don't believe, if my reading of it is correct, they're not doing a game in Corvallis or Eugene. They're just going to do a neutral site game in Portland.
What they should do.
Smart move.
That's what I thought. I love just like it's not a conference game anymore. It's a non-conference game.
I don't want to drive down either one
there.
Of those cities.
It's so the it's first. Can you know? Here's a fun trivia question for Swag.
Yeah.
First regular season neutral meeting. Neutral site meeting for Oregon and Oregon State since?
It had to be a Far West Classic game back in the 80s.
1996 Far West Classic.
96.
1996 Far West Classic is the last time Oregon and Oregon State played not in Gill or
is
Matthew
that going
to
be? How long did they announce that partnership on that?
That is a great question. I don't know.
Is it a 1 year offing? Because
it just
makes
says the 2026 Oregon State Oregon rivalry.
They should
is
be in Portland every year doing.
That's
they
what
should
I
do
thought,
that. It's a perfect spot because
Thursday night in November, like what
they
the hell?
Come up. It's the week before a lot of the Thanksgiving tournaments, so they can leave right from PDX and head to wherever the hell they're going.
The chances of getting me to drive to Eugene for a college basketball game are next to zero.
Exactly.
Even with free tickets, which we have available.
People in Eugene don't drive to Eugene.
Don't go either way. And my team's going to blow again next year. But this is one I'm like,
so
if I have nothing
like
going on,
game,
like, all right.
Game 4 or 5 of the regular season.
Early in the year.
And a chance for all the fans in the Portland region to go look at the team. And then maybe they can incite, you know, seeing them play and see if they got a dude or look like they might be good. That might be the thing that encourages you to... Okay, if Michigan comes to town, Ohio State comes to town, San Diego State comes to court, you know, whatever the case.
I'm still not going to go.
It might.
If you guys blow us out, can we steal your coach?
That'd be very problematic if you did that. I think people would riot.
After the game, just grab
I already
guy.
Worried about it.
Hey, we got our
what
guy.
What if he has a good year one?
You want to come live with your wife and Eugene?
He'd like, I'd love to be there every day.
Give us this guy.
I like that. That's a good decision.
I thought
that
was smart.
That.
Like, as college hoops, we don't really care that much about it here locally, but I thought it was smart to move it to Portland. That was announced over the weekend. That will do it for us, folks. Good little show. What else will happen? And our time off the air.
Who will we get?
In the next 20 hours, what could possibly happen that we will have to talk about by tomorrow?
It's already started, the screaming about Dundon.
Yeah, it's over. Pack it up, move
it's
to Kalamazoo.
It's an all-time fumble job.
Yeah. We cannot recover from
this.
No,
we cannot.
We can only hope to one day... get a hockey team because the Blazers are moving. That'll do it for us, folks. If you missed any of the show, go check the podcast. 1051thefan.com. At Dirt and Sprague on Twitter. At 1051thefan on Twitter. Hope you all enjoy the rest of your day. Thanks for being a part of our Monday. We will talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. The Firm, Harrison Meringue, is next. You're listening. 1051 FM The Fan.